Good morning, and welcome to another edition of Studies in the Gospels here on the Gospel Radio Network. This program is a weekly examination of the life of Christ as found in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And today we're in Luke chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 29 through 36 today. And you know, we live in a world and a generation that's not very different from those of the first century. Everyone is looking for a sign. Everybody wants to have a special religious experience. They want to base things upon their emotions and their feelings. They want to have something unique happen to them to set them apart from everyone else. Many people claim to be listening or watching for signs from the Holy Spirit to confirm their faith or salvation. Everyone wants a sign. And people in Jesus' day were not any different. I recall some years ago a man that was an acquaintance of mine who was in a bad car wreck. And when he came to, the Bible that had been in the front seat with him there, though he was not a faithful Christian, his wife was, and he had never shown a whole lot of interest, but that Bible happened to be in the front seat. And when he woke up, the Bible was opened up to a certain page. And he decided that that was a sign, that that was the reason that everything had taken place. And so he came to me wanting me to help him figure out what it was on that page that was going to change his life. Last week we saw Jesus take on those people in the crowd who were trying to ride the fence. Jesus had cast out a demon from a man who was mute. The man is now talking, and part of the crowd rejected Jesus by saying he cast out the demons by the power of Satan. The other part of the crowd refused to commit to follow Jesus. They refused to accept him as the Son of God. They desired another sign. But rather than receiving the sign, accepting Jesus as the Messiah and committing their lives to following Christ, they want another sign so that they can find a reason to reject Jesus. Jesus is going to explain the sign that he gives and explain why the people are not becoming his disciples. Let's go to our text now and notice with me Luke chapter 11 verses 29 and 30. And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation." Jesus observes that the crowds are increasing. They're growing daily. And rather than encourage the crowds or marvel at the crowds that are following him, Jesus points out, "This is an evil generation." Can you imagine a bunch of unbelievers following Jesus, and rather than approving of them following him, Jesus calls them out? As we noted now previously, last week, Jesus is not interested in people having a mild interest in him, trying to ride the fence. Disciples are people who fully commit to following Jesus. It's all or nothing. Jesus explains why he is critical of this generation. He says that they are always seeking a sign. One sign is never enough. Jesus healing the blind, healing the sick, and raising the dead, but the people do not want to commit their lives to following him. They just want to see another sign. Jesus declares that no additional signs will be given. There is only one sign that is needed. There is one great sign yet to come, the sign of Jonah. Jesus says that Jonah was a sign to the people of Nineveh. We need to consider how Jonah was a sign to the people of Nineveh. What was it about Jonah's life that became a sign to the wicked people of Nineveh? The sign was that Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Rather than dying, a miracle occurs. Jonah survives being swallowed by the fish and then goes to Nineveh and preaches to the people. Jonah should have died. He was thrown overboard during a violent storm, and he sank all the way to the seafloor, according to Jonah chapter 2. Then Jonah is swallowed by a fish. Common sense thinking would say we have a dead Jonah. Instead, 3 days later, Jonah is spit up from the fish onto the land, and he goes and preaches to the city of Nineveh. That miraculous event is the sign. Jesus is explaining that he is going to give a sign to that generation that is the sign of Jonah. The implication, which is clearly expressed in Matthew's account, is that he is going to be miraculously raised from the dead. A resurrection miracle was going to occur. This was the one sign the people needed to know that Jesus is truly God and the Savior of the world. The resurrection has come under much scrutiny over the past several hundred years as man has begun to trust in his own understanding. It's not hard to see why this would happen. If there is no resurrection, then Jesus has not given the world the sign of Jonah that proves him to be God. To feel the weight of what Jesus is teaching about his coming resurrection, it is useful for us to prove that the resurrection did occur. Jesus rose from the dead so that we can appreciate the teaching Jesus is giving concerning the sign of Jonah. There are many pieces of evidence for the resurrection of Christ, and critics are unable to answer these. First and foremost are the eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. The scriptures record a number of eyewitnesses to the risen Jesus. From the apostles to the women who went to the tomb, the men on the road to Emmaus, and the 500 who saw him at once, the eyewitness evidence is overwhelming. And it is not like there are only 12 people who saw Jesus risen from the dead. Consider another piece of evidence that will help our faith in the eyewitness observation of Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 22 records that one of the qualifications of being an apostle of the Lord was that he was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus. When that is stated as the apostles looked to replace Jesus. They do not look at each other like this is some remarkable feat. It's not like saying you are a Christian if you have gone to the moon, therefore ruling out everyone but just a handful. There were plenty of people who saw the risen Lord. The difficult qualification was that the person was a disciple from the beginning of John's baptism all the way to the resurrection. That is what made the qualifications very narrow. But there are men like Matthias and Joseph who we do not read about seeing the risen Lord but meeting the qualification. There are hundreds and hundreds of eyewitnesses of the risen Jesus. We must never forget the empty tomb. The fact that anyone in Jerusalem could go to the tomb and see it empty is a huge piece of evidence. For if the tomb of Jesus were not empty, the Jewish opposition would have gone to the tomb and produced the body. Their opposition, in fact, proves the empty tomb because the guards are instructed to claim that the body was stolen. Why claim this unless the tomb was truly empty? Why would the enemies of Christ become disciples? Paul was killing and persecuting Christians because he believed that Jesus was an impostor and not the Messiah. What changed Paul to become a disciple of Christ who would give his life for Jesus? Paul was a witness to the risen Lord. The brothers of Jesus did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. In the book of Acts and Galatians, we read about James, the brother of Jesus, becoming a pillar in Christ's church. We have a letter in our Bibles written by Jude, the brother of Jesus. What changed them from non-believing to believing? They saw the risen Lord. The resurrection is the defining proof that Jesus is the Son of God. Notice Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, as Paul begins his letter. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. The Apostle Paul declares the resurrection proved with power that Jesus is the Son of God. Now let's go back to our text in Luke 11 and notice verses 31 and 32 and the question of a sign. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Jesus is making a point to the crowd about his coming death and resurrection as the sign of Jonah. Notice the point he made in verse 31. When the wisdom of Solomon was being proclaimed, what did the queen of the south do? She came from far away to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. She was willing to travel to the ends of the earth to hear God's wisdom through Solomon. The Queen of the South can condemn that generation because they are unwilling to hear with open hearts the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus is far greater than Solomon. The second point made in verse 32 is that when Jonah preached to the people of Nineveh to repent, they did. The people of Nineveh were wicked Gentiles, and yet they repented at the preaching of God's word. I find a certain comfort in the example of Nineveh for our own country, which has become so seemingly vile and wicked. Jesus has come preaching to his own people and they would not repent. Therefore, the people of Nineveh will condemn this generation on the day of judgment because they repented at the hearing of God's word. And Jesus is far greater than Jonah. Perhaps we will still repent. Now, Jesus has identified two common problems. We will not go to hear God's word, and we will not listen and repent at the hearing of God's word. This is Jesus' condemnation of the time he lived in, and yet it's still the problem today. God has revealed himself to man today through his word. We can know his will for our lives and what his requirements are for eternal life. We can know the type of behavior that is pleasing or not pleasing to God. The problem is, most people do not want to know. Most are not willing to give the effort or the time to hear and learn the declaration of God's word. It's not just about being part of the crowd. It is so much more than just attending an assembly. Luke is telling us that the disciples are those who seek to hear the word of the Lord, and upon hearing God's word, change their lives to agree with God's word. Now, notice with me verses 33 through 36. Jesus wants us to open our eyes and see. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Jesus explains to us why we do not see the sign. The reason we sit on the fence and refuse to commit to Jesus is not because there is insufficient evidence. It is not because the evidence is not convincing. Jesus says the problem lies within ourselves. The problem is not with Jesus. He is the light that has been put out on a stand so that everyone can see the light. The light of Jesus is shining. The resurrection is the shining light to us. His glory is not hidden in the shadows. What Jesus did is not a secret. When your eyes are healthy, you see the light and your whole body is full of light. However, when your eyes are bad, then your body is full of darkness. The problem is not that we do not have light. If there is light, but we cannot see, the answer is that we have bad eyes. The problem's not with the light. This is Jesus' point. The light is shining. Jesus is the light. Jesus is not the problem. The problem is that we cannot see because our hearts are still in darkness. Bad or dim eyes cause our lives to remain in the darkness. We must open our spiritual eyes. Good spiritual eyes, that is, good hearts, allow light to enter the body. But bad eyes, wicked eyes, block light from entering the body. The eyes of our soul need to be clear to receive and commit to Jesus. Jesus told us that the problem is with us. The problem is not in the source of the light. The problem is not Jesus. The problem is not in the church. It's not in the teaching of God's word. It lies within us. We cannot blame others for why we are not strong Christians. You cannot point the finger to someone else to excuse ourselves for our lack of dedication or zeal or love for the Lord. You've seen the type, those that quickly get mad and go somewhere else when it doesn't go their way. Jesus taught us that to inherit eternal life, we must love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and strength. We have no one to blame for not doing that but ourselves. We must look within and consider what is blocking the light of Jesus from entering our eyes. Why is the power of Jesus' death and resurrection not moving us to love the Lord and serve Him? What is interfering with our complete commitment to following Christ? Verse 35 gives us the warning to be careful, to not let the light that is in us become darkness. Be careful what you do not think, or that you do not think you have the light when you're actually in darkness. We can think we are in the light when our hearts are darkened. So many in the world, including ourselves, believe that we are in the light. But Jesus warns us to look again. Make sure. Make sure we are in the light and that we've not deceived ourselves. If there is darkness in our spiritual lives, it is never the fault of the light of the gospel. The light of Jesus and the light of the gospel shines in full glory. It is our sin that blocks us from seeing the light of the gospel. The greatest sign has been given. It is the only sign you need. The sign that Jesus rose from the dead. But what are you going to do with that miracle? Will the resurrection of Jesus be the cause of a change in your life? To allow the light of the Lord to take darkness away from you? Will you seek the light, remove the darkness of sin from your life to be a disciple of Christ? We don't need another sign. We need the spiritual ability to see the sign that's already been given to us. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was crucified for sinners. and raised in power with all authority? Are we giving all effort to hear God's word and to change our life when we hear it? We have the great sign of the resurrection. Can you see it? And what are you going to do about Jesus? Thank you for joining us today. I hope you'll be with us again next week, if the Lord wills, as we continue our examination of the life of Christ here on Studies in the Gospels. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long and have a great day.